What's up, everybody? Before you get to your show, it's DJ and Bucky here from Move the Sticks. Bucky, tell everybody what's coming up on our next episode.
We're going to talk about the top quarterback performances at the NFL Combine. Also, some other Combine standouts that stood out to you and I, and the Brock Osweiler effect, how he could impact the draft where he goes.
Yeah, you can check that. Move the Sticks, NFL.com/podcast, YouTube, as well as iTunes.
The Around the NFL Podcast agrees to offset contract language.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
I am so excited for today's show.
It's exciting. Let's put it right there.
Exactly. It's very exciting, Mark. Once a year, we look at the list that the scientists, Chris Wessling and Greg Rosenthal, put together. The top, it used to be the top 101. Now it's the top 99 free agent list. And this is the show where we break down that list.
The whole year is basically leading to this point. You got the regular season and the Super Bowl, and it all culminates right now with a very sick Chris Wessling and a lot of heat talking about Jason Pierre-Paul in our top 99, and we got some news. There's a lot going on.
What does Handsome Hank have against the number 100?
Handsome Hank is our programming director on NFL.com. I guess he asked you guys to knock it down to 99.
Well, it was on the NFL.com/free agency tracker, which won't be ready yet. So actually still go to /top99. It can't handle three digits. Two digits is cool, 99.
Wait,
and
what?
You put it into the system, three digits, it's just
here's
too,
the good news and all that. And Sydney behind the glass now, just two shows remaining with Sid. But when La Sid and I get together, we just make magic. And this being a top 99 actually worked out because now we have this.
If you having
free agency
problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but
free agency
ain't one.
Yes.
What a theme song.
Yes. Is that not the greatest thing ever?
Dan has been in the best mood all day because of this. He was ready to drop it on us, and it came correct. It lived up to the hype.
And this is why I love Sydney as a producer. No, it doesn't matter what the idea is. She just knows. We're just on the same wavelength. And the Irishman, Brandon McGinnis, who will be taking over for Sydney when she heads to the Magic Kingdom for 5 months, he should be taking notes because Sydney and I are just on just a magical wavelength.
On point. He's like chomping at the bit, though. He's ready to get out.
Are you a little – it bothers you a little bit, though, that because this is, like Mark said, the California labor laws that you have to leave. Brandon is here.
Well, unless Sully's a shadowy back. League figure stepped up and just gave her a full-time job.
Right. And we're happy to have Brandon and Sully back. But in the same way, like, it's the first day of school, and they're, like, the freshman, and then you're the senior that's gone, so you're, like, old news. Does it feel that way in the blue room at all?
A little bit. It feels like, I don't know, like, we've got, like, a family here, and it's like, oh, we're shipping you off to college later. We've got new kids now.
And now here comes, you know, a new stepdad ready to make his own rules, ruin the party.
Yeah, but we're happy to have Brandon back as well. It's we're blessed, #blessed, to have a lot of good people working behind the glass. So Sydney's with us for two more shows. So, yes, this is the Top 99 Spectacular Special for the Around the NFL Podcast. Before we get into that, we will hit some news because there's a lot of news to get to because, listen, free agency, this is the business time. This is where money gets made. This is how GMs get hired and fired. It's all around this week. So there's a lot of movement going on before free agency kicks off, Greg, next Wednesday.
Well, that's true. And the legal tampering, as it's called, period,
which is stupid,
on Monday. It's usually on the weekend. They kind of have switched the schedule around a little bit.
It's usually useless.
That's true. And so they shortened it with the uselessness in mind. So I think a lot of these items of news are going to be popping up next Monday, Tuesday. Deals will be getting done. But it's true. We have 5 months of show, 4 months of shows till we get to training camp. And for the most part, we're talking about what happens over the next 2 weeks for those 4 months. I mean, those are all the different changes. It's all happening now.
It's all happening.
That in the draft.
As Penny Lane once said in Almost Famous, Wes, thank you for coming in today.
You're welcome, Dan.
Because this is such an important show, because the scientists, and I think if you follow the Around the NFL crew on Twitter, they have actual heat downstairs in the newsroom trying to slot in some of these guys into the top 99. Like, I had a video that I put up on Twitter at Dan Hansis that really illustrated that a little bit yesterday. But now we're going to get to see it with the mics on, because it's just because the mics go on, Mark, doesn't mean the gloves don't come off.
No, and it's there have been countless moments. I mean, some of it caught on the show, but really, a lot of times, just our working environment, Dan, downstairs, where things become they're uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Oh, please.
You like mixing it up and being contrarian and telling Wes. Wes could tell you there's four tires on a car. You'd say,
true.
No, there's not.
That's
and then it's like, you know, it's just Dan and I just dealing with it, and really the rest of the newsroom.
The real narrative that you guys like to make up these narratives, you guys are fighting, but we agreed on 95% of it. It's insane how much is similar, but when we have little disagreements, we're going
to way to set up the segment.
You know what I miss? I missed the science drop with the bubbles.
Stay tuned. You might just get lucky.
Beakers.
Lassid, before we get to the top 99, let's do some news.
Doctors say he's got a 50-50 chance of living, though there's only a 10% chance of that.
That was a request on my part. Usually Sydney handles the drops, but that was George Kennedy, who, of course, played Ed in the Naked Gun series, my favorite comedy of all time. Frank Drebin's sidekick, referring to O.J. Simpson's character in that scene.
Oscar winner. I didn't know that about George Kennedy.
Also huge role in Cool Hand Luke.
Yes, but I never saw that movie.
It is interesting that Dan always mocks Wes for his uncle. He likes uncle humor movies, but his favorite movie is The Naked Gun.
That's about as uncle
my
humor
favorite
as
movie.
You get.
You just said it's your favorite comedy.
Yeah, favorite comedy.
Okay.
Cool Hand Luke, a classic.
And by the way, I'm sure
it'll be on Connor's list to watch.
There's nothing uncle humor about Naked Gun. It's irreverent. It was ahead of its time.
It just means you're a little younger. I'm just saying the young listeners out there.
People who are 20 years old right now.
I like Naked Gun. I love it.
Greg's favorite comedy ever is The Hangover Part 3. That's how he says.
No, that's not true.
Rushmore.
Never even seen it. I love Naked Gun.
All right, let's do some news. You know, respect the dead, Greg.
Can we get down to business?
Yes. Here we go. Sam Bradford. We'll start right there. You want to talk about business. He's doing big business all throughout his career. He could be a not-so-good quarterback and make a ton of money. That's what Sam Bradford has taught us. He agreed to a two-year, $36 million deal with the Eagles. The agreement came on Tuesday. Rap Sheet reports that Bradford will receive $22 million guaranteed at signing, which balloons to $26 million when injury guarantees are added, $11 million signing bonus, I mean, $7 million base salary. And all these numbers, I don't know what any of them mean. There's this thing, and I'm probably behind on this, but it's blowing my mind. Now there's a difference between guaranteed money and fully guaranteed money. It's like, can we just work something out that's a little more clear, football world? Can we do that? But all we do know is that Sam Bradford paid big money. The Eagles are staying in business with Sam Bradford. And, Wes, you're not happy about it.
Well, he's, by all accounts, a perfectly nice guy. I'm glad he's getting paid. But, yeah, the idea that he's made $3 million per win in his career is crazy to me.
Yikes.
What is it? So 25 wins, $75
million
so far.
He's made $78 million.
78.
And he's going to make, I think, 100 and what's the math on that? $114 million? If he makes it through both the years on this contract. So a nice way to make a living.
Well, he timed it perfectly, being the number one overall pick before the new rookie wage scale came in. And this goes to what I was talking about the other day, that how much would Tom Brady make on the open market in the middle of his prime if there's no salary cap? This is kind of the cost of doing business. I think we have a problem with it in this room because Sam Bradford has shown over a long track record at this point that he's not a difference maker, that you're basically saying this is what a league average quarterback is worth, and we're hoping Sam Bradford's a league average quarterback and is starting for us, because that's what he's shown in a best case scenario he's going to be.
I mean, I think it's not Bradford's fault that he was the last number one pick under that outrageous rookie pay scale. It is the Eagles' fault if they go out and say this is the best we can do at this position. That said, and I am not a fan of it at all. I find Sam Bradford, you could put a top 10 moments and you'd stop around 4 or 5 and be like, there's nothing left. There's nothing left.
If you count preseason, you have a full top 10.
Sure. I mean, I understand his 10 attempts last August were, set the earth on fire. But, I mean, if you're Philadelphia, Like, you are in a conundrum if you let him go, because you we can talk about Chase Daniel being the guy you could go sign or something, but there aren't. If you don't have Bradford and you don't get Chase Daniel, then you have less than Chip Kelly had last season, and that's a problem.
And that's why I'm not necessarily on board with killing the Eagles for this, and it is market value for a quarterback these days, so the money is crazy, but I guess I understand it. But I guess I wasn't quite as plugged in on the Chase Daniel's going to be a stud. I know that's kind of the move, Wes, that
– I don't think he's going to be a stud. I think he's going to be – Sam Bradford, since he entered the league – among quarterbacks with 60 starts, is last in almost every major category. To me, why pay for that?
I get that.
I mean, what's the worst? We don't get Sam Bradford, we're in trouble.
But there
we're already in trouble with Sam Bradford.
I think the disconnect, though, is that there are people, like football people, the people that – and that's the only explanation in a lot of ways, I think, that he's made so much money in his career. They see something special there, even if it's been years and years, that the common fan or an analyst maybe doesn't see. So that's why they decided to stay in business with him, and they put a lot of stock, as we know, into the last half of last season as well. But they didn't have a ton of options unless you were going to go after Chase Daniel. Kirk Cousins wasn't going to be out there. You're going to draft somebody? I don't think you want to do that at this stage. I mean, they were kind of in a tough spot.
They really talked up his last seven games of the season. That's the reason why he's going to stay with the Eagles organization. But when you look at those seven games, it was really a couple solid performances. It was a couple games where he's loading up the stat sheet in garbage time. It was a couple games where he really struggled. And so that's basically been Bradford's career. He's an accurate passer. I think people remember back to their draft evaluations, and they just have a hard time letting that go. People thinking that he's one of the most accurate quarterbacks to come out in a long time, when really you watch him as a pro and he's just that sort of middle of the road. And he has a different offense to his defense every season, and he has another one next season. So why is it going to work?
Well, I think we've seen over the last few years, people kill franchise quarterback deals. When Romo got paid a ton, people criticized that. People criticized Joe Flacco. And we say all the time, you can't pay too much for a franchise quarterback. If you identify him as the answer, pay what it takes to keep him. Nobody's identified Sam Bradford as the answer.
Well, think about, and I know we need to move on, think about that the difference between a Sam Bradford cost right now is about $18 million. Think of the difference between that and the top quarterbacks. You know, Aaron Rodgers at 21, 22. Joe Flacco, we'll talk
there's
about
no
in a second.
Middle 20, class no, for
21, 22. That is a very small difference, considering that there's such a little difference between the very best quarterbacks making 21, but the Sam Bradfords get 18.
Once upon a time, a few years ago, Mario Williams became the highest paid player in the league. Am I right? Or is it defender?
Defensive player.
Defensive player in the league when he signed that massive deal with the Buffalo Bills after a real spirited free agency chase. It didn't quite work out. Williams had some nice years with Buffalo, but Rex Ryan came to town, and Mario Williams was not comfortable in Ryan's defense, openly questioned his role in that defense during the 2015 season. The writing was on the wall with a lot of money coming Williams' way. It was announced on Tuesday that he has been released by the Buffalo Bills, and I guess maybe we can tackle this a little bit a different way. We want to save where he kind of fits in this free agency picture for when we get to the top 99 chatter. But our thoughts about Mario Williams, is he the type of impact player that any team with cap room is going to want to kick the tires on? Is he that type of player, or is he overrated?
This is a big debate Greg and I had yesterday, because you could make an argument for either of those. If you get the 2014 Mario Williams, he was an all-pro and arguably the best season of his career. He's only 1 year removed from that, but also last year there were games he didn't try. His effort was questioned, and Greg believes that he's the kind of guy who doesn't really love football, so you have to question his effort this year if you sign him.
Well, I think at his age you have to be concerned that he's 31 years old. He's made a ton of money. This is his third contract. For guys to really succeed into that next stage of your career, you have to be a special, really special talent and have a special desire. I don't know. You haven't heard that about Mario Williams. Now, I would have never guessed Julius Peppers would have the mid-30s career that he's had when he was going to a third contract. But he was always a guy who was known to really be a great practice player, really love the game, take it seriously. And you haven't heard that about Mario Williams for his career. So I just wonder. It feels like he's going to get good money, though. I don't doubt that.
Oh, I think he'll definitely – there are going to be enough teams that say he can rush the passer. We need that. We got to bring someone in. But he was paid by Buffalo for the entire defense to center and anchor around him. That's not who he is now I would assume, in the eyes of most defensive coordinators, we're going to bring him in and pay him the kind of money to put everything around him.
And I don't think he was a bad signing by Buffalo. I think they got their money's worth, essentially.
But they did. They just never went anywhere.
Enough of the excuse-making that they keep making this thing where, oh, Rex Ryan had him dropping back in the coverage. He was not an outside linebacker. He was rushing the passer most of the time. I mean, he would do it maybe a handful of times a game. That doesn't explain why he doesn't get pressure on the quarterback the rest of the game.
Did he ever get that engagement ring back? Did we ever figure that out? It's like the
was an odd chapter in his NFL life, yes.
Also, he has red eyes. What's up with that?
Well, I think that's a contact.
That's like going to plug in with a player like that? Man. All right, moving on. Yesterday, Tuesday, was the deadline at 4 p.m. Eastern for teams to use their franchise tag or their transition tag. So we'll go through some of these. We'll start with some we'll touch on real quickly, but this one I think is worth digging in on. Kirk Cousins, who Rap Sheet had reported while we were at the Combine, the team was seriously considering using the transition tag, which would have been pretty saucy to see how that would have played out if other teams really had a real shot at signing him away. Instead, they used the non-exclusive franchise tag on Cousins at all, but ensures he'll be back in Washington at least through 2016. The franchise tag acts as a one-year $19.95 million deal. Yes, that's almost $20 million. And we were just talking about this, guys. It's weird. We're in this weird phase in salaries in the NFL where there's no middle ground for quarterbacks. But I know Kirk Cousins had a nice year last year, a very nice year.
Nice 2 months.
But $20 million for 1 year for Kirk Cousins, that's wild. To be a quarterback is to be blessed.
It's wild. He's going to be he's going to have the highest base salary of any quarterback in the NFL for the 2016 season, which is so wild when you consider that people were talking about benching him in late October. And then he went – Jordan Reed and DeSean Jackson got healthy, and he went on a two-month-long toward stretch, and now he's set up for life.
And yet, I think it's a better deal than any two-year deal would have been. I have no problem. I really – and I'm, you know, the biggest anti – or the biggest Kirk Cousins doubter in this room, and I don't really have a problem with this at all. I like it better than giving him a big, fat, long-term deal. Even if – I said this, we did a hit for NFL Now. Even if he only plays this year in Washington and it's not a good year and they wind up letting him go, I can't kill them for that because you have to find out, and that way you avoided giving him $50 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I guess with the money, with the cap shooting up the way it did, I don't really think the money is a sticking point to me. And if you're Jay Gruden and you're coming off a season like you just had and your other option is Cousins goes somewhere else, you've got no quarterback, the Redskins go 4-12 and you're fired. I mean, this is the best chance at continuity, and you're the one who's been you've been with Kirk Cousins and promoted him from the start. I think you stick with him whatever it took. This is what it took, and it's the Washington's best chance to succeed and sign him long-term if they like him.
It was interesting. You read, Dan, how the Jets were watching the Kirk Cousins.
They were monitoring.
And Ian alluded to on Total Access yesterday, NFL Media Insider Ian Rapoport, that
Rap Sheet.
That the old Eagles were keeping an eye on the Cousins situation, and when that hammer dropped, and they also saw the money Cousins is getting, of course, $20 million, that is what spurred on the end of the Sam Bradford.
You said hammer, domino might have been better.
Domino is better, but I'm hearing a lot of that these days. Oh, the first domino has dropped.
You're turning on domino.
In Denver Broncos free agency. What's next? Brock Osweiler?
Is Peyton going to really ride into the sunset?
You know, not a new phrase, dominoes, you know, falling. That's
great
been
around
week. For some time.
Great week for the Cousins family. They've made, you know, he made $2.5 million his first 4 years. You know, it's a big-time raise to get $20 million. But there was one
yes,
big loser. The guy who wrote the Kirk Cousins autobiography a year or two ago. Yeah, should have waited a year or two. People, that came and went. You guys didn't even know it existed. There is a Kirk Cousins autobiography out there. That thing comes out this offseason?
Hold on.
Lot
25-year-olds quit writing biographies.
I feel worse for the guy that wrote the RG3 biography after the rookie season.
What thing was possibly
that thing was dead.
The world at age 24.
That thing was dead before it hit the printer because he tore his ACL and it was over.
I've been trying to get Dan to read that book. He has been very...
Been a little. After I read the Rex Ryan autobiography after his second year with the Jets, I took a step back.
You've only been pulling your weight as a human being for 2 years of your life. I don't want to read about you.
Mark should be on his third autobiography. I would love to read a Sessler memoir. You know what I'm saying?
This was, Mark, and I hope
it's not coming anytime soon.
You posted it publicly, but you were a subject of fascination in the newsroom yesterday morning because you were off and you needed that off day. And as we talked about, you know, you didn't get to have any beers in Indy at the combine, so you were a man that just needed to kind of blow off some steam. 7 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, you are sitting by the sea taking photos. Only I said this to you downstairs this morning. You could ask me that question. Who would be doing that at 7 a.m.? There is not one other person I've ever met in my life that I would guess. I would say immediately that would be Mark Sessler that was sitting by the sea.
Well, I think Wes could be potentially. Wes could stumble at his front door. All right, well, maybe.
Yeah, I only live like a football.
Wes would have to be coming home from the night before for that to happen.
I mean, I had, you know, it's not a sexy story. We had a sitter coming to take our kids to school, and I was basically told I needed to leave the house before 7 a.m. So I was like, I'll just drive out there and took a photo, and then it was foggy, so I left.
You should have come by. You said you were in Santa Monica, right? You
didn't come by work?
No, come by my house. You know,
well, I didn't.
See what's going on.
I remember being at your house, but I don't remember where
you were. It's weird that you wouldn't drop by your mentor's home.
That is true. I mean, the day got off to an odd start when I didn't stop by Greg's right off the bat.
In other franchise tag news, Von Miller got the franchise tag. And Mark, do you know why he was unique to the rest of the franchise tag field?
Because he just won the Super Bowl.
Okay. Well, yes, that would be unique to this class. But he got the exclusive franchise tag, which nobody else can negotiate. He's going to be a Bronco, and they'll get a deal done. Cordy Glenn, the Bills' left tackle, you get a franchise tag, and you get a franchise tag. He got a franchise
tag. Has anyone commented
Oprah
on that story yet?
Oprah bit.
Oh, yeah.
We looked yesterday. There wasn't a single comment on that.
People not plugged in on offensive tackles in Western New York. Olivier Vernon. This one's saucy, Greg. Got the transition tag in Miami last year, if you remember. Charles Clay, the H-back. The Dolphins did the same thing. And then Rex Ryan got overexcited, and the Bills signed him to a big contract that the Dolphins opted not to match. Will the same thing happen with Vernon? And will that be a big blunder, Greg, by the Dolphins if they let Vernon get out the door?
It's a strange move. I don't think they give them that tag unless they're almost ready to say goodbye to him. But it's become their move now. He's number two on our top 99 available players. He's not technically
a free agent.
But
it's like being a restricted free agent.
But not really, because you don't have to give up anything to get him. You just sign him to the contract. You don't have to give the Dolphins a draft pick or anything like it would be with the restricted free agent. So all it does is tells Dolphins fans that the front office, it gives them a feeling like they don't know what they're doing. Why did you do this? Now we just have to watch the 49ers or someone give him $50 million guaranteed, front load it, not match it, and just draw out this process. And it feels like they don't know what they're doing.
So he's gone?
I think he's gone.
Well, and it gives agents a chance, like when Alex Mack was transitioned, to go sign a contract with the Jaguars that suddenly included an opt-out clause and a no-trade clause. Like, the agent go in and basically screw the original team, who then, if they want to match, they don't have power over that player.
That's what the Bills did. They front-loaded everything in the Clay contract with a lot of guarantees. They knew the Dolphins are tight to the cap, and the Dolphins are tight to the cap again.
Screwing the original team when the original team is the one that messed up and put a
chance. You're right. The original team walked into it, but it does give a chance for
It's a half measure.
It's a half measure.
It's like having Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback. It's a half measure.
Ooh. Ouch.
Greg had to go.
I mean, I'm just saying,
the listeners down in Florida.
Either find a way to give him the franchise tag and cut Cameron Wake and Brent Grimes or whatever you need to do, or not.
This I was stepped a guy who was on Lauren Tannehill's person. I'm in a better position with that family than you
What's
were.
That?
Last man off the Ryan Tannehill boat.
That was it.
Greg Rosenthal.
Welcome
right
back
there.
To society. Yes, Mark, I remember you stepping on Lauren's purse. She was quite classy about it, but furious.
Well, there was a loud, distinct crackle inside. I stepped on something that smashed into many parts.
That was...
Well, maybe it was a gun. Remember they left that gun
I don't think
in
it was a gun,
car
Greg.
One time.
That was stupid. Josh Norman and Mo Wilkerson, the Panthers and Jets respectively, also got the tag. And speaking of the transition tag, here's somebody that knows a little bit about that business, Alex Mack. Transition, guys. That's what it's like in this business.
Wow.
Broadcasting.
What a pro.
Alex Mack has
Clinic.
Voided his Browns deal that had 3 years and $24 million left on it, including $8 million guaranteed. He is going to test the free agency market. But guess what, Mark? Don't lose hope, because he likes you. He likes Sashi.
Sashi.
Actually, let's get the full Sashi. I'm in the mood.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, for one night only, Sashi!
And he is open to staying in Cleveland, so it's just a matter of if they want to be competitive. At least that's what he's saying. Do you think Alex Mack will be the center for the Browns week one, 2016?
I don't think so, but I definitely didn't think so a couple months ago, and I do think that it sounds like what we heard at the Combine, that there is a chance. It's no surprise at all that he voided his contract. I would have been stunned if he didn't. But now he's going to find out, you know, Cleveland's back in a situation again where they can fight against another team. And if you're the Browns, you have to be considered fighting an uphill battle. Mack has been through, what, 26 quarterbacks at this point. When you're the person having to work directly with the quarterback, he's been through 7 different offenses. I mean, the idea of a team that has consistency and is a winner, and he said winning is important to him, he could be lured away.
33-79 since he was a first-round pick in 2009.
They also, Mitchell Schwartz, they lose potentially as well in free agency, and the one thing that they touted as a strength, which it wasn't last year, suddenly is not at all, and they have a lot of needs.
Elsewhere in the AFC North, Joe Flacco and the Baltimore Ravens strike a contract extension. Not a surprise. He had a Drew Breesian-type cap hit coming Baltimore's way this season, so they decided to essentially give him a new deal, rip up that contract, and it was a 3-year extension worth $66.4 million, signing bonus of $40 million, which this is the other thing got on everybody's radar, people lumping in Joe Flacco and Sam Bradford in the same tweet to talk about how quarterbacks are overpaid. You know, let's calm down. Come back to us. Joe Flacco is a good quarterback, maybe not the greatest. He's got a ring and an epic postseason run. If I have Joe Flacco, I'm keeping him till he's 38 years old, and I got no problem how much I pay him.
Carried the Ravens to a Super Bowl title.
One of the great performances. Back. Him in the last 10 years, when you talk about postseason quarterback runs, Eli that 2012 season, Flacco 2012, Eli was 2011. Brady had an amazing run last year. I mean, you pay for those guys. You keep them in your building.
Flacco was playing great at the end of last season, and who knows, they might have ended up with a second Super Bowl title if they hadn't lost that 14-point lead. It certainly wasn't Joe Flacco's fault that they lost to the Patriots a couple years ago. It is strange, though, as good as Joe Flacco, and I like Joe Flacco a lot, it is strange that he makes the most average salary of any quarterback in the NFL. It's a little strange. He now tops Aaron Rodgers. Joe Flacco is number one, and his agent and Joe Flacco have done a great job, and they timed it they just timed it perfectly, signing that initial deal, getting the Super Bowl run right before it, and that's kind of set up the rest of his
life.
It's
so funny to remember the outrage the evening that Flacco deal – I will never forget just the Twitter outrage that Joe Flacco would be paid what he was at quarterback. And then over the course of from then till now – one quarterback after the next is making bank. I don't have a problem.
How much would you love to have Joe Flacco
exactly.
the last 7
look at,
years?
You look at his
more.
Record and what he did with some pretty average Ravens teams. It's not just him. It's the rest of that the way that franchise is built. But no problem playing Joe Flacco a ton of cash.
Give me Joe Flacco.
Thought he did a good job last year with some lackluster, really lackluster people around him for a while. Then it all. It fell apart, and he got injured.
They're going to win 10
or 11 games. He is a 31-year-old coming off a torn ACL that's now the highest-paid player in the highest-paid quarterback in the league and has never really been a top-five quarterback. So if you wanted to, you know, just note that, I think that's fair to note.
Simone and I saw him at the Super Bowl walking down the avenue, and he looked fine.
Yeah.
That's breaking news from Mark Sessler, at Mark Sessler underscore NFL.
Was that our hotel? I saw him walking around. He looked good.
And finally, the New Orleans Saints, have cut ties with Wes. Okay.
Wes. We are losing Wes.
Yes.
The cough button.
I feel like this is the end of Philadelphia 2 right now.
Whoa.
Wow. Did they make a Philadelphia 2?
They're not going to green light Philadelphia 2.
It's called Philadelphia 2, : still terminally ill.
Wow. Actually, I think we're definitely going to get some movie posters based on that.
It's just Wes hacking into his mic. Anyway, Marquise Colston was a wide receiver.
Marquise Colston.
Yes, that's – I mean, so, and that's how you – well, there's a different pronunciation. Greg, you always get on.
Well, downstairs we were talking about this story, and I told Dan, I informed him, you have been – saying Marcus Colston's name incorrectly for the last 3 years. It's not Marquise.
All right, you tell me if I'm wrong.
He's not a French dignitary or anything. It's not the
Are you sure?
Or a writer. It's not the Marquis de Sade. It is
he
not.
He plays outside the French Quarter.
Marcus Colston is how you say the name.
Sydney, you are a wise woman from Utah. I'm going to spell you his first name. You tell me how you would pronounce it. And be honest. M-A-R-Q-U-E-S.
I would say Marquise, I think.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, it's
that's
certainly
not how the French language works.
Yeah, breaking news. English language has silent letters, all sorts of crazy.
Well, if you're going to spell it that way, though, you're inviting confusion.
Well, can we just talk about
Dan's the only person I've heard call him Marquise over the last five years.
Dan has taken a lot, take it to its logical end, though. I also
just because after a while you hear his name said a certain way, you could listen.
Well, Greg is now banging Dan for not watching.
Well, let's listen.
I was just gonna say
Lady Sydney.
Indike, is that his name? There are no rules. We have abandoned all sorts of rules for how to name and spell children's names.
How about Brett Favre? Indice, Indice, why did you fall out that window?
How does Brett Favre get away with calling himself Brett Favre?
That's a fair point. Wait, let's listen to the official pronunciation.
Yeah, this will settle everything.
Marquise Colston.
Okay.
Marquise Colston.
Okay, case closed.
Anyway, he gone, and that's what's happening in the news.
If you haven't
free agency
problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but
free agency
ain't one.
I mean, I could just I could walk out of the studio right now and say that was a great show.
Such a smug look you've got right now.
Why?
It's great. I approve of it. I mean, you earned it.
He's just happy he, used the
smug
all-time leader in receiving yards in Saints history as a way to do a little bit on mispronouncing his name.
By the way, thanks to Sacramento, California.
He's a free agent.
Legal makers.
Yeah.
We're losing Sydney because, it's not a good idea for a company to be able to keep like a skyrocketing employee for more than 7 months. Got to get them out in the street. Got to risk never getting them back. Good job, California.
The top 99 available players, you could get this at NFL.com/top99. And I'm seeing a lot of guys on Twitter popping off, running their mouth. They got, putting their own lists off their lips, to borrow some parlance from our friend Jason Lockenfora, who, by the way, Locka, come back to us, baby. A late night combine tweet throwing shade at Rap Sheet. Can we read that tweet? Can you just bring that up real quick, Greg? Because this was one of my favorite things of Combine Week. Kind of got off my radar and missed it, and then I plugged in on it on Tuesday. This is an NFL insider to another NFL insider. Jason Lockenfora, keep my name off your lips. Always remember this. I know you will. Sent it 1:40 in the morning.
That's 2 in the morning posturing.
Put my name in your mouth. You got to be careful.
There you go. Wow, you and Locka sharing some DNA.
I did think that when I heard that.
Maybe
I did think it was an ode. Maybe he listens to the podcast.
It was an homage.
So is this the?
I've never heard that. I'm glad.
Crowd, you want to run with?
Hey, I had a message to send that day. I stand by it.
Didn't get through, partner. The top 99 available players. So anyway, team rap sheet. Calm down. Come back to us, Locka. Twitter gangster. Top 99 available players. This is a list that has been done. A lot of care and effort has went into this list. You guys, the scientists we call Chris Wessling and Greg Rosenthal, not just because they founded RotoWorld and not only built that site HTML brick by brick, but also physically the building that houses all the RotoWorld writers. They built that as well.
Mm. Most of the RotoWorld writers appear to live in within like 10 miles of Evan Silva.
Wes, I'm building your legends.
So okay.
Make it seem like you guys all worked in an office building in cubicles all around.
Like the Brill building.
Yeah. But you were actually in Tybee Island during your time at RotoWorld.
That's
right?
True. I don't know how I got all that building done.
Working on a dock. With
working
a Corona.
On a dock?
No.
I don't drink Corona.
All right, let's get into this list. And I think, we talked a little bit, how do we want to tackle this? Because there are, 99 names. Right off the top, I want to start with who made number 99, which always gets me excited. And number 99, I thought, I'm a little disappointed. I thought it was going in a different direction. Is this the most up-to-date version?
Yes.
Okay. Number 99 on this list, because I thought it was going to be a a certain former Washington.
Well, he's not a free agent.
Oh, good call. Thank you very much. I apologize. Chris Johnson, your number 99. You guys like to have a saucy guy at 99, even if he should be higher or maybe not on the list. You always like that. It's the only time science kind of takes a back seat to a little bit of pop and posturing.
Well, I like the idea that the last guy on the list should be a memorable name.
Exactly. You want to wow him in the end. You know, you want to have a big finish to the show like we do every day. And so Chris Johnson's a guy who was seemingly out of the league, and then when he played last year.
It is interesting
that a good player.
Number one on the list is not as enticing a name as number 99, but that's not your fault.
Well, think about the top five quickly before we get to ones we disagree. I mean, these aren't big names. Malik Jackson's number one. Everyone was talking at the combine. You got to find your Malik Jackson, the guy who can work inside and out so you can put any type of front you want.
That's a guy that 75% of football fans had no idea existed.
Exactly. And I think he's going to get $14, $15 million a year. He's going to get Andy Dalton, Colin Kaepernick money. Then you have Olivier Vernon, who's top five in the league in tackles for loss and quarterback hits, but not a big name. Kelechi Osemele, which Dan famously has never been able to pronounce. How do you say it again?
Marquise Osemele.
Doug Martin, people know Doug Martin, and Bruce Irvin. That's the top five. So not
Bruce Irvin, a nice little player.
Yeah, well, it's hard. Great players don't
get
the free agency.
Number five.
He's going to get $10 million a year.
I like Bruce Irvin. I think he's an above-average starter in the middle of his career.
What if those guys? There's just not defense.
There's not that many.
You don't have Michael Bennett and Cliff Avril around you.
Here, Avril.
Avril. Listen, everyone's allowed to pronounce a name off target today.
That is the top 10. Five is Irvin. Six is JPP, and I'm sure we're going to bring that up in a second. Mario Williams, who we discussed earlier, is seven. Eric Weddle, the Chargers safety, is eight. Danny Trevathan, the Broncos linebacker, nine. And Janoris Jenkins, and Rams cornerback, 10. Not happy, of course, that Trumaine Jackson got the tag. But he's probably going to be happy when things are all said and done because people got money to spend, and a cornerback that is entering his prime is going to get paid. He'll be okay in the end.
He reportedly turned down a five-year, $45 million contract, and then he fired his agent. That's always a – you know they have red flags going into the draft? It's always a red flag when you fire your agent 3 days before free agency. It's always like the players that are a little – that fly off the handle.
Are you saying
– Well, Janoris Jenkins, based on his Twitter feed, is definitely a guy you got to manage closely.
But you're calling that move to fire the agent after that offer a
–
Sounds like what you're saying.
No, I'm not blaming the agent. I'm saying when players are firing agents 3 days before free agency started or a few days before, it just seems like a weird, unstable person type of move.
Okay, so let's break this down, and I guess we'll start here. You guys, Wes and Greg, when you make this list, you basically talk out each player, and this is what I pick up, and Mark, let me know if you
am I involved in this segment?
I mean, we are outsiders. Don't worry about it.
I want to hear it. You guys got to pick it apart.
Mark, you have you know how you have Fantasy Corner during all draft segments in August? There'll be something similar. It'll be like Cess's Street Corner or maybe like Cess's Beach Bench.
Beach Bench.
Sit and watch the sea.
You throw it over to the beach bench when you need to.
Okay, cool. Anyway, so you guys disagree on certain names, and you guys talk it out, and you try to slot someone in, and every once in a while, you guys are in totally different places on a player. So let's talk about some of those players, and Greg, get us going. Which name jumped out immediately when I just said that as someone you guys were not on the same page on?
Jason Pierre-Paul was the number one guy. I see a guy who was – by far the best player in the Giants front seven last year when he came back, was an impact player. And if you put him on the free agent market 2 years ago, he'd be signing a five-year, $100 million contract. And there's that sort of ceiling for JPP now. And I think you get him at a relatively bargain type of rate, maybe a two-year deal, $20 million. And there's a chance you get a top 10 defensive player in the entire league. So I had him on our initial list, even before all the tags. I had him as the number five player. Wes did not have him in the top 25.
No, I didn't. And I don't think that you can say that the ceiling for a 7.5-finger player is the same ceiling as he had when he had 10 fingers. We saw him fail to wrap up guys multiple times. He
We're
wasn't
in the lab, guys.
He wasn't the best player on the front seven. Robert Ayers was.
No.
And Jason Pierre-Paul had one sack in eight games because he – tackling is one of the most basic elements in football. If you can't do it, You're not as valuable. And I don't think Jason Pierre-Paul gets too much credit for just running into the backfield and failing to make plays.
I mean, if we're seeing that, aren't GMs and scouts seeing the same?
But why do you assume that the guy coming off of a devastating injury, playing football in a different way for the first time in his entire life, is just going to be that guy for the rest of his career? Why can't you get better at playing with the
club? That's fair, but you're asking someone to go put a lot of money on the assumption that he is.
Well, I think it's a buy medium with a big-time reward. I don't think it's going
to
be a big
thing. This isn't a guy coming back from an ACL tear and it takes him a year to get right. This is a guy that, and Wes put it quite literally, has 7.5 fingers now, and he's not going to grow more fingers.
Also, you don't buy medium.
Science is going to give him a robot hand, which would be awesome.
You don't buy medium on the number 6 player on this list.
Well, it depends. This isn't a ranking of who's going to get the most money. I think he'll have an okay deal. You said, you know, he might not grow back the fingers.
Actually, no, he will not.
The scientists, we didn't want to reveal this.
Takes
but
a different type of
science. We've been working on that.
Oh, well, that's absurd.
It's possible. He was a really good player last year. Everyone is underrating him because of the
Wes
one
If Wes had
game.
Any confidence in your ability as a duo to grow back fingers, he wouldn't have put him outside of his 25.
Well, that's true.
You talk about how your hand functions, when you're trying to grab a quarterback, you're diving after him and you slip off of his rump or his back or his pads because you can't physically grab that player. Your hand doesn't work that
I think
way.
He was a good player when he came back, and he's only going to get better. And people are underrating him because of that one game that was on Sunday Night Football where he missed a bunch of tackles, and Chris Collinsworth pointed out. So
that
that's
wasn't
all anyone
the,
can remember. He
it
had
wasn't
a lot of
the
good
only
moments.
Game where there was an issue. What,
he had a
they
lot of
played
good
the
moments.
Panthers on a Sunday afternoon, and he had major issues tackling Cam Newton.
I'd take a chance.
All right, how about another player, Wes, that you jumps to mind you guys definitely were not on the same page on?
Well, let me look at this link here.
Let's throw. All right.
I think Dwayne Allen, whom I have a lot of faith in, I'll always be an unapologetic Dwayne Allen supporter. We heard Steve Keim at the Combine have one of the most fascinating discussions on tight ends. That basically, it's two different positions now. There's no such thing as a tight end because you're either an F or a Y. And one of those just blocks, the other one just receives. Dwayne Allen is one of about a handful of tight ends that can do both when he's healthy. Health is the big question for him.
He wound up, and this is our version 2 that went up after all the franchise tag. He wound up at number 46. You had him much, much higher. I see your point on this one. I think if you're taking a chance with a young tight end in this market, I'd go with Ladarius Green out of those two. Who is
again, Ladarius Green is great, but he's basically just a big wide receiver. He can't fulfill every function like Dwayne Allen.
Don't you think the offensive coaches and Andrew Luck would have found a way to get Dwayne Allen going in the last couple of years? At some point,
I have no faith in the Colts offensive coaches.
Wes, sometimes when you're making this list with Greg, do you ever wonder yourself, was Greg even watching the same games as me?
Only during the Jason Pierre-Paul discussion.
No, give me a break. First of all, Dwayne Allen, let's go over his production.
Mark, has Greg ever privately confessed to you some issues that he has with Wes in terms of talent evaluation?
Well, it's private.
Dwayne Allen missed the entire 2013 season. He's often injured, and he has gained a total of 500 yards the last 2 years.
This evaluation isn't based on stats. My evaluation of Dwayne Allen is purely based on game film, Greg.
No, I know.
Argue with that.
I do, too. That's I put him like 60th or 70th, which
it's
to,
back,
me,
baby.
To me I think is pretty high, but, you know, compared to other people. For instance, I put him 50 spots ahead of guys like that were much more productive at tight end, like Zach Miller or Ben Watson or players like that.
Give me another one, Greg.
How about Mario Williams, which we mentioned a little bit, but – you know, Wes really thinks Mario Williams would be a good buy. He wound up when you when you averaged out his two numbers, he ended up being number 7 on our list. But I think it could be a big waste of money.
Well, here's how I decide where to put Mario Williams. Find Jason Pierre-Paul and put him above him.
Wow.
That's a pretty easy decision.
That's what happens sometimes in these.
Direct hit.
That you're looking at the rankings. That is not a direct hit. I'd much – let's put a sandwich on it right now. We don't need to wait for the free agency show. Who has a better season, Jason Pierre-Paul or Mario Williams? And we're going to have a committee of 3. Mark Sessler, Dan Hansis, And David Ely behind the desk will be the third person.
Okay.
Wait, no.
Strangely. Actually, Ely.
Wait.
Ely's a bad choice.
Why would you go with Ely over like Connor or Patrick?
Okay. Connor and Patrick. It'll be a four person. It'll be a
wait,
four
but what
person
if we deadlock?
Committee. Then we'll figure
okay,
it out.
We'll workshop this.
Yeah. Who has a better season, JPP or Mario
Ely
Williams?
You can make Ely the fifth. I feel bad now because
wait,
we listened to this.
Why don't you guys just simplify it? I know, you know, because you're basically asking us to PFF the situation. Who has more sacks?
No, I want you guys.
Because he knows that Jason Pierre can't sack quarterbacks.
No, I
anymore.
Want you guys to have an about Jason Pierre probably is a great run defender, so he should
better
get
season based on our committee's findings.
Yeah,
sure.
Just,
we'll
okay,
just
decide it.
Yeah.
It's the new Warren Commission.
Here's a name that I think you would find interesting, Dan.
Yes.
I ranked Ryan Fitzpatrick much higher. I had him as my 20th.
Greg desperately trying to get Dan back on the side.
That's right. 25th initially, and that's moved up with all the tags. Wes had him in the mid-40s. Barely had him as a top 50 player.
Let me say this, and because I kind of think I know where Wes is coming from on this one. I think, first of all, he had a great season with the exception of a bad quarter at the end of the season, which wasn't great. But he has much more value to the Jets playing in that offense than he does to any of the 31 other teams.
Yeah.
And I would think that's probably where Wes is at on this.
Yeah, you can't sign Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker along with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I get that.
And that's why Ryan Fitzpatrick had a great season. He's throwing to one of the best wide receiver duos in the NFL.
Well, I mean, it's
and probably the best red zone duo.
Well,
in
you get a quarter,
and he was smarter. He improved as a quarterback.
Here's
as
the
well.
Thing. Why
you get a quarterback bump, though. I mean, if Kirk Cousins gets $20 million.
That's fine.
Then Ryan Fitzpatrick gets a bump. And he's right now he's 23rd in the
what
list.
What did
he's
Ryan
between Reggie Nelson and George Aloka. So he's got a big Bengals safety sandwich.
What did Ryan Fitzpatrick cost the Jets last year?
$3.5 million.
That's when you want to get
that's
him.
A great bargain.
Here's what I'm saying. Kirk Cousins had a great season for the Redskins. Maybe the Redskins took him off the market, but you could have pried him away for a lot cheaper. Chase Daniel, to me, is a very similar quarterback to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Why pay one of them $15 million a year and the other one $4 million a year?
But isn't, like, this list, if you could go and find out where every one of them are going to land and then re-rank it by player and fit, that's a totally different list.
Maybe that's your column.
It will be because what happens is last year and the year before, the number one guy, some desperate team goes out and overpays for someone, and then they vanish to some degree, some of these players, because I would much rather take Matt Forte on the Patriots than Eric Weddle on some terrible football defense.
Well, you're right. Number one on this list, and I did one. I went back and looked before Wes arrived. Dark days at the NFL back then. But the number one player has not always worked out. Peyton Manning, that worked out fine. Mike Wallace, not so good.
No.
Jairus Byrd.
Who?
Injury issues.
Jairus Byrd. Jairus.
Irishman. Irishman, you see how quick Sydney is on that iPad? That's what we need from you. Starting.
Now he's doubting her skills. Wow.
Wow.
And Dominican Sue was the guy last year, so we'll see.
Well, that was a no-brainer.
I was surprised you had Chris Long in the top 20. By your logic with JPP, you had Chris Long way above him.
Chris Long has 10 fingers.
Can I head over to the beach bench with Mark Sessler?
Please.
To ask you a question, Mark. Who do you believe will be the most overpaid player in the top 99? Overpaid.
That is a wild question.
Didn't we just have this exercise in written form?
I mean, yeah. I think it's
Mark,
I think
I'm
it's potentially
you up for your
it's
piece.
Potentially JPP because I fall very much in line with Chris where like I don't want to invest in a player that potentially can't tackle.
You know who?
Maybe Malik Jackson.
Who was your answer when we wrote it? You don't remember. Just like your
was
like,
that overpaid?
I think it was
your
JPP.
NFL picks.
Oh, for that just for that situation.
In and out.
Come back to us.
I'd have to look. I don't know.
He's got eight.
Oh, I had
paper over here.
I had Bruce Irvin.
All right, tell us about Bruce Irvin, Mark. Everybody just wipe out everything
don't
that happened in the last 90 seconds. With
Mark was like, oh, this is cool. I can just relax the next 20, 30 minutes. No one's going to call on me.
Put him on the spot.
Was this? I don't even know if this was overpaid, but I think that Bruce Irvin
things
is
are hazy on the
be,
beach bench.
Yes, it will.
Yeah, it is paid too much. I think Bruce Irvin is the kind of guy that, like, a lot of players coming out of that Seattle
defense. What did you hit before you went out to the beach bench?
What do you mean?
I don't know.
6:45 in the morning, Greg.
Why would Bruce Irvin be overpaid?
Because I think he's a pass rushers and cornerbacks tend to get overpaid in free agency, and then they leave the Super Bowl level defense they're on. They go to a bad defense where you don't have the supporting cast around Bruce Irvin that's helped make him what he is, and he's a good player. but he's going to get overpaid. No doubt in my mind. He'll go to the Falcons and be part of a bad defense.
Let me throw out a name here, because if you really want to get spooked, if you're a team that really needs to rebuild your offense in a hurry, take a look at the wide receiver class, because you have Marvin Jones, who I like as a receiver. I think he could kind of take the next step in the right position, kind of like a Golden Tate next step guy. I like him a lot. Mohamed Sanu, though, Jones's teammate at Cincinnati, is number two on your guys' list of wide receivers, number 61 overall. And you put him in the nice subhead category, which I agree with, needs the right role. If he goes to a team and he gets paid number two receiver type money.
He's fourth on our list at wide receiver.
Oh, he's fourth. Oh,
Anquan Boldin and Travis Benjamin are ahead of him.
Okay, he's number four. And if you give him number two wide receiver type money, I mean, if you watch this guy or track his career at all, he can disappear for stretches, doesn't always catch the ball. Classic, and I think Connor Orr wrote a piece during Combine Week how maybe it's not a great thing to have a ton of money in free agency, because you might overpay for a guy that will be put in a bad role.
Right. Most of these guys that make it are solid starters. They're not superstars, or else their team would keep them. Our NFL media insider, Ian Rapoport, sent us an email while we've been up here, just kind of thinking
about...
Keep
his name off your lips, bro.
Thinking about guys who he thinks are going to do very well in free agency that might not be getting a lot of attention. And there are a lot of our favorite players, Chris, on our list. We did agree for the most part on most guys. William Hayes from the Rams, who's been one of the best rotational ends for a while. Patrick Robinson, who's had a couple good years at cornerback. Danny Trevathan. Jay Howard, who made our list.
We loved watching Jay Howard.
The best bargain picks. Maybe he's not going to be a bargain. Ian thinks he might get eight-figure salary.
Insider.
That's right. Eight figures, which means he would be making $10 million a year, Jay Howard.
Wow.
That's a little too rich for my blood. Brandon Brooks, Robert Lardarius Green, who we like. So it's a lot of those kind of middle-tier guys that wind up getting big-time juice.
Anybody want to throw out one more overpaid guy, or do we want to move on to the best values, a guy that get for a nice – let's move on to that. We'll start with Chris Wessling on this one, Wes. Who is someone in this top 99 that you can get on the cheap relatively and could make a big difference in 2016?
I wrote about Dwayne Allen, but since we already talked about him, I will go with the other guy, Derek Shelby from the Dolphins.
Shellbone.
I watched his film because he intrigued me. I remember watching him at the end of the year when he was filling in for Cameron Wake. He's a really strong run defender with really strong hands, and he pushes offensive linemen back into quarterbacks. He was batting a pass per game in December, batting down one pass per game. He's never going to be quick enough to be like a double-digit sack guy, but he's a do-everything defensive end.
Mark? I'll give you one. Mitchell Schwartz, right tackle. I think that he, a couple seasons ago, had real issues and was probably the weak spot of that Browns line. But he's grown a lot. I think that you could probably get him at right tackle for – he's going to get paid, but you're not going to have to break the bank for him. And he's young. You could center your offense around him, your offensive line around him for a long time. Walter Thurman, too, maybe at safety.
Ooh.
Walter Thurman had a really good year.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised.
I mean, he switched to safety.
Aren't going too crazy to keep him, it sounds like, but maybe they've spent a lot of money. I mean, if you think about what they've done this offseason, I'm doing this piece. Wes is doing the AFC version. I'm doing NFC team needs heading into free agency. The Eagles have a pretty good roster. I don't think that's a bad team to take over. They re-signed Vinnie Curry. They've re-signed Bradford, of course. That's not
a bad
roster.
They got a lot of talent on their defense.
Who's your guy, Dan?
I have a couple guys. We have a written piece for a lot of this free agent business, free agent bargains. You could find it on. It's in the centerpiece right now, at least as a taping of this podcast on the homepage. Little industry insider talk. But I like more than certainly Greg Rosenthal. I like Lamar Miller a lot. I think that ends up with a team that takes advantage of his talents, I think he can really make a big difference. And since running backs don't get paid, I think he'll have value. And I also like Chris Ivory, not with the Jets, and not mostly because they have so many issues.
Boy, he'd look great with the Patriots, wouldn't he?
I do not like to imagine that.
Who,
but
Ivory.
I could totally see him.
You would give him 160. He basically would replace LeGarrette Blount.
Right.
And be
a much better version of LeGarrette Blount.
Give Chris Ivory 100. Same thing with Lamar Miller. You don't want to give him too many. And that's why I'm just going to I threw it out there in the piece.
Yeah.
How about if you need a complete reboot and you don't want to go through the draft, you sign both Chris Ivory and Lamar Miller. That's a nice 1-2 punch. Come on. Get excited, people.
I mean, Chris, you've won some games in, you know, September to December. Let's start winning some games in January and February. Come to the Patriots. I like that. Matt Forte would be another one, and because of what you said, running backs are so cheap. Someone's going to pay a third for Matt Forte this season of what a guy like Jay Howard is going to make just for this season. Just for one season, there's no way he is not going to help your team. I think Chase Daniel, who we mentioned, and a guy right next to your guy, Derek Shelby, who I like, Nick Fairley. I know he's a risk off the field, but I'm telling you, he's a difference maker. He's a good player.
You question Mario Williams' work ethic and motor, and then you go out promoting Nick Fairley?
Well, it's all relative. I don't think you're going to have to pay him an insane amount of money. And I think he played pretty well for the Rams last year.
I'll throw out another one just because I'm loyal to the Making the Leap clan and the entire roster dating back to 2013. Ladarius Green, who came up earlier today. You could probably get him very cheap. You put him in the right offense, a little bit with a good passer, and you put him in a role where you can spread the field. He might be a breakout guy. You won't have to pay a lot for him.
He is someone you talked about watching the tape. He was really impressive last year. He, to me, had a breakout season without the numbers to back it up because he just wasn't a big enough part of that offense and he had to stay into block and he missed a couple games of injuries. I thought he was really good for that team. I'm going to throw out one more name.
Do it.
Which is just a weird name. He would be in the top three if there was nothing going on with him. Alden Smith. Remember him? Do you sign a guy that's – could you get – think a little left field and sign a guy that's suspended for the first half of the season?
Greg's high character.
Do you want him?
That even allowed?
What was Greg's
team? Why don't you sign Darryl Washington while you're at it?
God.
Well, he's on the Cardinals still.
Negotiating with O.J. Simpson to be a pro player personnel.
That's true. I always like the guys that you take a chance. We didn't rank Greg Hardy high at all. He was buried.
Another free agent added to the
breaking
list.
Breaking news. Just came across the wire on Twitter. And I don't know if he makes your top 99.
No, he doesn't.
Roddy White released by the Falcons.
He will not be in the top 200.
Whoa, that's just mean. I mean, we don't even have a top 200.
He almost single-handedly sabotaged the Falcons' offense.
Damn, Wes.
I know, that's fine. But this is one of my favorite receivers of the last decade. He's had a great career.
He has had a great career, but this is the end.
Well, that's
Chris
fine.
Wessling, Roddy White, the John Wilkes Booth of Falcons offense in 2015.
You don't think he'll get a job?
I was overstating it. He failed. He couldn't separate for 2 years straight now, and the Falcons had no speed on their offense after Julio Jones, so that was a problem. All right, Jacob Tammy's a slow tight end, and they had no number three.
I never understood the articles that were saying they were going to keep Roddy White. So I think the Falcons made the right.
Roddy White was writing those articles.
Anquan Boldin can't separate from anyone, and he's like number 40 on your list.
Anquan Boldin is one of the most physical wide receivers in NFL history, though.
This is the second Roddy White to get the boot from the Falcons in 2 years. Remember the guy, Roddy White, who was piping in crowd noise?
Well, he deserved it.
How could
it.
There be two Roddy
White?
It's
totally insane. It's what they need to do a 30 for 30 on that. The two Roddy Whites. Forget the two. What is it? The two Escobars. The two Roddy Whites.
I think you should be respectful too of internal promotion. It should be a Football Life that we do that. Okay. 30 for 30.
Dan, you were correct. I went overboard, and I apologize to Roddy White. He's had a great career.
What did Wilkes Booth say after he assassinated Lincoln? Sic semper tyrannis,
something like that.
Other than that, how is the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
No, stop with that.
That wasn't him.
He had a copy of Catcher in the Rye in his pocket when he did that.
Yes, he did.
What
Wait,
is up
no,
with
he did it. No. Catcher in the Rye wasn't written yet.
That's Lennon's assassin.
I know that.
Oh. See, things are a little weird over on the beach bench. You know, I don't know where you're coming from on some of
these. Do you think that I actually thought that someone in a Lincoln civilization, Lincoln-era America, was carrying Catcher of the Rye around in their pocket? That's what I considered fact.
Okay. Listen, sorry, Mark.
I could see you being a big Salinger guy when you were younger, Mark.
I was.
Or maybe I love even Salinger.
Now. Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
My friend and I tried to find his house. Couldn't find it.
You were not the first.
They have a movie about that.
I know. Then it became cliche. We tried it earlier.
You tried it before Field of Dreams?
What?
Okay. All right, guys.
I got where you're going, Wes, but it's...
What the hell's going on?
All right, so let's stick a pin in our free agency talk. It doesn't mean it's over because next time we join you, which will be Monday, we'll continue to talk free agents. Wes, you're heading off to Tybee Island.
Mm.
It's masked loosely as a charitable endeavor, but it's really a place for you to recover from bronchitis and have a
it's
BAC
really
over 2-0
That's
for five
not
straight
fair.
Days.
What's the charity again? What's the name?
It's Tybee Teen Cuisine. And
Tybee
if you go
Teen
to my
Cuisine.
Twitter page, I have – the tweet pinned with all the details if you would like to give to charity.
Wait, you know, what? I make one joke, and Greg's like, That's not fair.
Well, I was distracted because of your incorrect information you gave all our listeners. We have a show on Thursday with Lindsay Rhodes. You don't have to wait till Monday to listen to us.
Right.
We're going to be coming back at you with a big-time star, Lindsay Rhodes.
Yes.
All right. No, I'm not going to Tybee to recover. I think that would be impossible.
I'm worried that you come back in a box. I've said that.
I thought we were maybe going to call Wes on Tybee while you were there, but there was some discussion.
We always have to call Wes. Whenever Wes is in Tybee, we got to get on the horn and call up Huckapoos. And that's the best place to reach Wes, which is a little beachside bar on this island off the coast of Georgia.
Correct. You have called Huckapoos, and I think I've been there almost every time you've called.
When you walk in, is it like a Norm moment?
Yeah.
Everybody's like, Wes.
It is. It's my favorite place.
I mean, you have your softball jersey retired there, don't you?
It's a big, like... Yeah, there's a big – it's not a statue, but it's like a big softball with my name on it on the ceiling.
How many people are in there at 9:38 in the morning?
Nobody. I think it's still locked at 9:38
in the morning.
Is there any resentment among the Islanders about you moving to the big city out west? So when you come home and you're getting showered with praise, is there any guy in the corner being like, that dirty Wessling, I'll get him.
I don't think so. These are some of my dearest friends. I don't think there's anyone.
But you never know about the element because you haven't been there for.
Like I'm too cool for school now. Like I'm too good for the island.
I don't think you are, but maybe there's someone on the island.
I get what you're saying. There could be someone in the corner who's like, "Oh, Wesley moved to L.A.
That Chris Wesley thinks he's all better than us. I'll show him."
There could, there could be a villain lurking that you don't suspect.
Oh, Wes is all tofu and spray tans now.
Very Dan moved to. He's trying to inspire drama now in other places too. He's like. Go after him, Tybee. I know you're listening.
That Chris Wessling, he'll get his. If it's the last thing I do. Yes, we'll be back Thursday.
The old guy from the amusement park on Scooby-Doo is now hanging out in Tybee.
Yeah, so Lindsay steps in for Chris Wessling. That is quite a change in terms of roster. We will also, just because you're a lot different as people. Not better or, you know.
Worse. It's okay, Dan. Yeah. I'm not offended.
We will also, we meant to do it today but ran out of time, iTunes comments.
You have to wait.
The good and the bad. We'll do that on Thursday, but that's it. That's it for this show. Thank you for listening. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm over on the beach bench. The mailman, the boss, and La Cid behind the glass. One more show, darling. Till Thursday.